high pay or fast paced, high strung Hagman and Hagman Report. We are loaded for bear tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for your belief and trust in us as we walk through this minefield of current events together. And things are only going to get increasingly tense and intense. Trust me when I tell you, it's really, things are really going to explode outward over the next 3 weeks. We've got 21 days until Election Day. Anything can happen, and expect that anything to happen. Folks, please do us a favor. Do me a personal favor. Do me a solid, as they say, right? They still say that, or is that? Subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's right. It's Team K9, okay? That's right, Team K9. But go to HagmanandHagman.com, HagmanandHagman.com, and click on our YouTube channel there, or Hagman Report. Click on the link to the YouTube channel. It's our official YouTube channel. Please subscribe. There's no reason, really, given our numbers, there's no reason why we cannot be at, you know, well over a half a million subscribers on that, on our YouTube channel. We know they're playing with numbers, our numbers. They do that. You know, trust me, they do that. Also, please follow us on social networking. While we still can use the apparatus of the enemy to get the word out, please follow us on our social networking. That's Hagman Report on Facebook, or Douglas Hagman on Facebook. Twitter is at Hagman Report. Or my personal Twitter is at HagmanPI. It helps us. It raises our visibility. It just does. We need to get the word out. We were downloaded in 111 countries last year, 64.5 million downloads. Those numbers don't mean squat. Really, they don't. They don't mean anything, except that people are hearing the truth. That's all that matters. I don't care. If we change one mind, one heart, if we bring the truth to one person, one new person, mission accomplished. Now, a message to those people who are the owners of businesses, whether small, medium, or large. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place is not enough to find quality candidates. Trust me when I tell you that. Having used other services, it's just that, or trying to do this on your own to hire qualified candidates, it can be a maddening task. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all of the top job sites, and now you can with ZipRecruiter.com. That's right, ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your job on to 100 plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Folks, find candidates in any city, any industry, nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. As I've said, I've used ZipRecruiter, and compared to the old way of doing things, I have not found anything easier, and if I say it's easy, man, it's easy, and you can do it. There's no juggling of emails or calls to your office. You can quickly screen candidates. You can rate them and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. One more time to try for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial, or go to Hagman Report or HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link to ZipRecruiter and get started today. The longer you wait, the worse it'll be before you find, or the longer it'll be before you find that perfect candidate. They make it so easy for you. They really do. I'm so proud to be able to talk about ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. It's a great company. It's a great, easy process. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Now, Joe, during the break, you and I had some words You know, and ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how many people have heard this. I'm a good friend. Joe and I are good friends of Tom Bowerly. Tom Bowerly is, of course, a talk show host in Buffalo, New York. Those people listening from Western New York, Canada, well, actually the eastern part of the United States because of WBEN's signal, know Tom Bowerly. He's the afternoon drive time host for WBEN. Tom is a good friend of, again, a good friend of mine. I've known him for, my goodness, well over 10 years. Steve knows him. Steve Quayle knows him. I've been to Tom's home. I've been in studio with Tom Bowerly. We've done remotes together in Western New York. Some of the greatest people I've ever met have been at the remotes and in studio with Tom Bowerly. Tom Bowerly is a class act in terms of talk show hosts. He really is.
Yeah, now, he's a great talk show host. He covers important national political information as well as other local Buffalo stuff. And yeah, we've met him several times. You've been on the show a number of times going back years. And he had a very interesting interview where he talked with Tracy Martin, a former traveling chef who worked under the first Clinton administration, where he has said that Hillary Clinton has angrily referred to black workers as the N-word. And
that's not you nice.
He's a traveling chef again. His name is Tracy Martin. And the story is on InfoWars, and you can hear the interview there. Hillary called black servant the N-word, claims former Clinton chef. And during this interview with Tom Bowerly, he cites incidences that occurred during a private function at the Elizabeth Taylor Medical Center in Washington, D.C., prior to a public engagement between Hillary Clinton and the wife of former French President Jacques Chirac. A gentleman of color came in with something, and it did not please her. In a way, it was when he walked out. She says that, and then she used the N-word, Martin told WBEN 930 host Tom Bowerly.
Yeah, that was during a function with Chirac. Yes.
So you are alone with Hillary after the black guys bring something that Hillary does not like, and she says to you that N-word, Bowerly asked Martin. Yes, Martin confirmed. And according to Martin, the Clintons made racist comments on a routine basis after the incident, and the incident did not come as a great shock to him. And there's also speculation about a Hillary Clinton video of her using, you know, these racial terms to refer to African Americans, and there are claims that it will be released soon from James O'Keefe's site, Project Veritas. It's been thrown around on Twitter. O'Keefe's written on his own Twitter page, as well as other people who are close to him and allegedly have seen these videos, that it will actually come out, and there's going to be a video of this. But back to the interview, the chef goes on to say, you know, they think nothing of it because there was no press around. And we've heard stories about Hillary Clinton, and, you know, there are how many ex-Secret Service agents who've written books about her conduct and treatment of help inside and outside the White House, from Secret Service officials to other White House personnel, aides, and close Clinton confidants. There's even a video going around, which is reports after the town hall style meeting with Matt Lauer, that Hillary Clinton had a meltdown where, you know, she just went on a tirade, a rage, went off the rails to the point where her aides were afraid to comfort her, and she was just, you know, screaming and putting them down. And obviously, you know, they don't allow the workers closest to Clinton to keep cell phones on them when they are working with and around her for the purposes of making sure that nobody, you know, records or uses the phones to sneak pictures or get any type of hidden communications out there. But again, you know, James O'Keefe says that there's going to be a video released of her degrading African Americans, and there's, you know, a lot more. And we're going to have Dinesh D'Souza on Wednesday, and he's going to talk about some of this. He has a new book out that deals with some of this stuff too. And I guess the question is, if there is a video of Hillary Clinton making racist comments at African Americans, and it does come out, will the mainstream media even cover it? You know, we already went over the ties between, in some degree, the journalist and the Clinton campaign. We have the list from the, what was it, 28 journalists who were invited to
Hold on a second. We can't go beyond this Tracy Martin Chef story before. I just want to let people know there's a backstory to this. InfoWars does not even have this backstory. They do a great job. They do a fantastic job. Okay, but there's a backstory to this that people don't know. Now, Paul Joseph Watson did the actual story about Hillary calling black servant N-word, claims former Clinton chef, again, Tracy Martin, as Joe alluded to. This is during a meeting with Jacques Chirac of France, and of course, you know, she went off with just with regard to the help and such. But okay, so here's the backstory. Tom Bowerly sought out, he heard about Tracy Martin, who happened to be a chef in Buffalo, New York, where Tom does his show. You with me so far, everyone? Okay, so Tom calls up Tracy Martin and says, hey, can you come on the air with me and tell me about your experiences with Clinton, with Hillary and Bill and such? Well, this kind of came out of left field. It wasn't expected. This was almost like an afterthought, all right? This surprised Tom Bowerly. So Tom pressed forward with Tracy Martin. All right. So this aired. I don't recall specifically when this episode aired. It was within, Joe, do you remember? Was it six, seven, 8 months ago that this first aired, or was it longer?
I'm not sure.
All right. Yeah, because I'm trying to remember, and I was looking through my date books, because I still use date planners. I'm old school. Anyway, I was looking through my date books. I couldn't find it. And because I remember this right after this happened, right after Tracy Martin appeared on the Bowerly show, I got a call from Tom. He said, I got a problem. Now, I have to be respectful here, and I can't really give out too much information except to say there was communication between Tom and I. I'm not going to give out the specific details about how, where, and when, but nonetheless, there was communication. And he said, I'm being harassed, I'm being followed, and even, or equally worse, Tracy Martin is being harassed and being followed. I said, okay. And again, I don't want to violate anything. I'll just say that Bowerly's got a security detail in security, as I do. Things were witnessed. And again, I'm being very cautious here. And there were threats made. But the threats didn't go anywhere, or the investigation of the threats didn't go anywhere, because there was also some animus between Bowerly and the governor of New York. Well, suffice it to say that Tom Bowerly did catch and documented surveillance at his home and away from his home after this happened. And the harassment has been nonstop. Folks, it's from the Clintons. I believe it's from the Clintons. I believe it's from operatives of the Clintons. That's the backstory. That's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Because the story about the N-word is just the obvious. It's just the beginning. But there have been attempts to shut hourly up in a big way. And I'm worried about my friend. I gotta tell you, I'm concerned about him. Jude McLeod knows the story from CanadaFreePress.com. And there's a lot to worry about because these people are ruthless. And I'll just say this. What's happening now, today, is a lot worse than what's been happening. What happened, we'll say, 6 months ago or a year ago. It's getting worse and worse. I just want to tell you that so it's only half the story. And again, InfoWars did a tremendous job in covering the story with the chef. But the other side of the story is the intimidation, the threats.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, trust me when I tell you it's bad.
And those threats, you know, you can see from the what you talked about in the beginning of the first segment, the video that was released by James O'Keefe and Project Veritas, showing operatives of the Clinton campaign inciting violence in Trump rallies and saying the media would cover it and spin it to their favor. You know, very eye-opening stuff, folks. You can go to the Drudge Report, and on the left-hand side, on the top of the last link there, you can find the video there. You can just search or go to Project Veritas and watch the video. James O'Keefe was also on Hannity radio show today, and I believe he was scheduled to do the TV show. I'm not sure, though. I've seen that they might have canceled, Fox News might have canceled all James O'Keefe appearances, which wouldn't be surprising
at
all.
Why?
Rigging the Election is the title. Rigging the Election video. Clinton campaign and DNC incite violence at Trump rallies. They talk about a dirty tricks operative providing dark money trail to the DNC and Clinton campaign. Violence at Trump rallies traced to Clinton campaign and the DNC through the process called bird dogging, which is something you referenced in the first hour.
That's right.
Shady coordination communications between the DNC, Clinton campaign, and Hillary Clinton's super PAC and other organizations revealed in what he calls illegal campaign, I believe it's illegal campaign contributions law that was broken. A Clinton key operative said it doesn't matter what the legal and ethics people say, we need to win, this. And this video details a number of disturbing examples of behind-the-scenes shady practices that, you know, what Donald Trump is saying is true, how this election is rigged, and it is in a number of ways, from the media covering up what the Clinton crimes are, from the Clinton Foundation to the connections with her super PACs and the foreign money that has been donated to her account. You know, it's illegal to have any foreign donations for a presidential candidate or any foreign contributions to a presidential candidate's
of course, and why do you think it is?
Election
purposes. I mean,
and
yes,
they've, you know,
yes,
we've seen how, you know, and they get around this by creating you know, false shell corporations, moving money from the foundation to the campaign, you know, through basic money laundering 101 tactics.
Well, O'Keefe mapped it out very simply. I'll just go over this for the people just joining us now. With respect to what you mentioned, you know, Scott Fovell, the Fovell group, and of course the O'Keefe revelations here. It's very simple because there has to be, you know, degrees of separation, and there can't be any trail of money. Here's how it works. The Clinton campaign pays the DNC. That's the Democratic National Committee. The DNC then pays Democracy Partners, which is the brainchild of Bob Creamer. Okay, then Democracy Partners pays the Fovell Group, of which Scott Fovell is the mastermind there. He's head of the Fovell Group. He was the National Field Director for Americans United for Change, the former man in charge for the People for the American Way, which is a Soros-funded group, George Soros-funded group. And then, of course, Fovell, Scott Fovell pays the operatives, people like Aaron Mentor, that's his real name. You're going to hear him referred to as Aaron Black. He works full-time for Bob Creamer. He's what's known as a rapid response leader when Trump schedules a rally, he'll go out, he'll get the mentally impaired, the homeless, the
this is what he says.
Yeah,
I'm saying we have mentally ill people that we pay to do things. Make no mistake, over the last 20 years I've paid off a few homeless guys to do some crazy stuff, and I've also taken them for dinner, and I've also made sure they had a hotel and a shower, and I put them in a program like I've done that. But the reality is, a lot of people, especially our union guys, a lot of our union guys, they'll do whatever you want.
Oh, the
they'll rock and roll.
Yep.
When I need to get something done in Arkansas, the first guy I call is the head of the AFL-CIO down there, because he'll say, what do you need? And I'll say, I need a guy who will do this and this and this. And they find that guy. And that guy will be like, yeah, let's do this. And then O'Keefe promised to release part two tomorrow of the next installment to expose voter fraud schemes discussed at the highest levels. The Hillary Clinton campaign is leaving nothing to chance, as we have seen, and will continue to reveal our undercover investigation into the dark machine of the Hillary Clinton campaign, says James O'Keefe. And they promised to release at least one bombshell a day.
And you know, now I had a question to you. Now I'm going to ask you a question, and folks, you can kind of in your mind chime in on this. Why do you think? Why not just dump everything all at once?
Yeah, I agree with that, especially before the debate.
But I don't agree with that.
But I mean, if there's something just damning on Hillary Clinton that she herself said, I believe they need to get it out before this Wednesday debate.
Well, to some extent, I do. But here's the problem with this, and here's what I run into. You take 28,000 emails. And I'm talking about the emails from WikiLeaks. And then toss on top of that another 12, 14,000 emails from the Podesta files. Now you're talking 40,000, roughly 40,000 or 35,000 emails, whatever it might be. All right. You dump it all out there. And if that's all fine, well, and good. But you've got to spend the time to connect the dots, because if you overwhelm people with a lot of information, don't forget the generation of today. Now, I'm excerpting, of course, or accepting our audience, the present company excluded here, because we know you folks get it, but the majority of Americans don't get it. They don't have the time, and I'm not faulting them. They don't have the time or the energy or the ability or the resources to sit down and map all of this out. This really should be the job of our federal investigative agencies like the FBI, but they're co-opted, so they're not going to do it. Then it should fall into the laps of the journalists, but they're co-opted too, so they're not going to do it. So we'll do it, and it's by the grace of God, by your support, folks, by the contributions you have given us, that allows us to use our time wisely to create these investigative reports and these radio programs to inform and to provide the information to you without bias. Now, we're obviously, in the case of Hillary versus Trump or Trump versus Hillary, we're obviously anti-Hillary, pro-Trump. And I say that only because, well, you heard what Coach Dave Dobmeier says, but look, it's, to me, it's a no-brainer. And I want to toss out one more thing, and this is more of a personal bias to me. I saw this pastor. I guess it would be a pastor. I don't know. He wrote something, this lengthy missive about voting for the lesser of two evils. Look, folks, I take exception to this. It's because of him and people like him, in my view, that is causing the evangelical Christians not to vote and to justify their inactions. Not to vote because, oh, I can't possibly vote for Trump because of, you know, his past. Well, obviously, I understand that. Well, okay, so by not voting or by tossing your vote so it ultimately elevates Clinton, what are you doing? You're actually accelerating, at least in my view, the demise of our country, because you know with Clinton, you've got this communist this hardcore communist Che Guevara revolutionary, communist revolutionary that's going to be in power, that's going to, that is going to just sever the United States. And the author, this pastor, minister, whatever, and you'd know his name, but who wrote this missive, you know, seemed to justify the lack of action or the lack of support on Trump, for Trump, because he's the lesser of two evils. It's still evil. Yes, I understand that. However, given the cards that we must play, I cannot, as a Christian and as a conservative and as a man and as an American and the head of my family and the caretaker of my estate, and by estate I mean not estate, you know what I mean, my family, whatever I'm charged with caring for, as we all are, I cannot possibly recommend inaction here. And lastly, Joe, and then I'm going to give it to you. Look, I heard this figure. It was Rick Wiles who was on his program. He said there were 20 million evangelicals who didn't vote or otherwise threw away their votes to the last election. That could have changed everything had they voted. Don't let that happen this time, folks. It's up to us. We must take the reins. And you know, I saw Assange holding a sign that said, keep fighting. Folks, it's up to us. We must keep fighting. We're going to be right back with more fight. Stay right there.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report on this Monday evening. After we go to our next break, we're going to open the phone lines. We want to hear from listeners out there at 844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944. Again, we're going to start taking those calls after this next break.
Preference given to first-time callers, and we ask that you make your questions or points as quickly as possible so we can get as many callers in.
And we really want to hear from you about the about the presidential election, specifically the revelations about Hillary Clinton campaign and the mainstream media collaboration, as well as the Clinton campaign and their illegal practices from, you know, Clinton in the State Department, giving favors for money and access for money, to what we see, where the, you know, from the FBI investigation, as what you said earlier about the FBI, there's a lot of information that's come out. FBI officials allege quid pro quo in Clinton emails. This deals with, the State Department. Clinton fundraiser is lobbying the State Department, and the State Department lobbying the FBI to, basically sweep the email investigation under the rug. We're going to get to all that just in just a minute.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing I like more, folks. I mean, after a hard day of investigative reporting and going through, you know, tens of thousands of emails or trying to make sense of everything, there's nothing I like more than just sitting in front of my fireplace on a chilly night, a chilly fall night, and cracking open a good book. Let me tell you about T.C. Joseph's This Generation series of novels. Oh, you know, what a great, fantastic read. Now, in a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families in a world where conspiracy theories and Bible prophecies collide. T.C. Joseph's novels move through recent history to the events that are just on our horizon. He's got a witty style about him. Just a great, I just love reading his books. Very fascinating characters. It all provides for a great read. Not only will you folks love these books, but they can be a great tool to be used to awaken friends and family members to the perilous times that we face. Kirkus reviews. It's a good barometer on how good a book is. Kirkus reviews states, and I quote, "Readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced." Another reviewing company, Blue Ink Reviews, calls this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Folks, get your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series on Amazon.com today. Okay, that's Amazon.com, This Generation series. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to find them engaging. And the third book coming out soon, Book 3, Penance. Again, folks, T.C. Joseph's This Generation series of novels. You won't be sorry. What a great read. Oh, and by the way, let me just say this. While you're curled up with a good book, and occasionally, perhaps, over a dinner, over a meal, have a glass of wine. Have you tried out Wink yet? Have you tried them out? Go to HagmanReport.com and click on the graphic there for Wink. If you like good wine, but can't even spell or even pronounce sommelier, it's time to take the stress out of wine shopping and try Wink. It's the new way to get all of the best wines perfectly matched to your palate. They're part of our family of sponsors. And Wink is right now, they're offering our listeners $20 off right now when you go to TryWink. That's TryWinc.com/Hagman. They'll even cover the shipping. It's really a great way to enjoy wine, a glass of wine with dinner, or a glass of wine when you're reading T.C. Joseph's This Generation series of novels. So, folks, you know, support our sponsors. Go to TryWinc, W-I-N-C, T-R-Y-W-I-N-C, TryWinc.com/Hagman. It's, you know, I just want to check to see if you've tried it. We've tried it. Of course, we were customers. My wife and I do like to celebrate, you know, date night, Saturday night with a glass of wine, a nice dinner, and even over a good book, T.C. Joseph's book. So it's, and with the cold winter setting in, or cold weather setting in, it just warms up the insides, right? So that's that. But Joe, you were getting into some things.
Yeah, there's a couple things, and you know, the more we read these and talk about them, the more I think about, you know, what difference is it going to make? This stuff, the important stuff, is not making it to the mainstream media. And back to what CNN said, basically that the email leaks for you to have them are illegal, and you need to rely on the media to give you a accurate portrayal of what's really going on, because you can't look at the emails, you can't have the emails, but they can, because they are the media. And they're the only ones that can tell you exactly, you know, what's what. But, you know, there are interesting new revelations today about Clinton campaign ties with the media. We've seen so many of these so far from the Clinton campaign, even the State Department allowing the Clinton campaign to write its talking points for them, and the State Department using those talking points in an article or articles with selected journalists who would put a good spin on the story. And the names of the journalists are in there. The AP is where they work. And you can actually, if you follow the email trail and the dates on those, the story was written 2 days after the email trail with the same reporters listed in the emails, with the spin that they wanted on it, the State Department giving the journalist the Clinton talking points as their own. And that's just one example of the collusion between the media and the Clinton campaign. But the what we're going to look at now is the money given, the donations given to the Clinton campaign from journalists, as Trump's already accused of the media of helping to rig the election to help Hillary Clinton. The journalists have reinforced that perception of bias by handing Clinton $400,000 in donations, according to an explosive new report. The Watchdog Center for Public Integrity on Monday said the journalists favored Clinton 27-1 over Trump, as $386,000 went to the Clinton campaign from journalists, $14,000 went to Trump. Some 430 people in the media business donated to the Clinton, compared to 50 to Trump. Journalists from ESPN, Vogue, Ellie, The New Republic, Facebook, and many others coughed up cash for Clinton in record form. Even Pulitzer Prize-winning media critic for The New Yorker wrote a check to Hillary Clinton. And we see this continued pattern of behavior.
You know what, Joe? As you were going through that, you know what really got me? And people don't really understand this, or they're not, the media is not going to report this. As you just said, you're not going to hear this in the media. But what really kind of angered me, New Yorker, the television critic, Emily Nussbaum, or Nussbaum. Now remember this name. Emily Nussbaum from the New Yorker television critic, a Pulitzer Prize winner. And you might remember her. She spent the entirety of the Republican National Convention just bad-mouthing, just ripping Donald Trump, saying, calling him a shyster, running an ugly and xenophobic campaign, a misogynist. Well, Emily Nussbaum, what no one disclosed, and certainly she didn't say, she contributed $250 to Hillary Clinton in April and allegedly continued contributions. Now, that's nothing, okay? That's just chump change for these people. But Carol Simpson, a former ABC World News Tonight anchor, in 1992, she became the first black woman to moderate a presidential debate. Do you remember this? Probably not. But you know, was it her stature in journalism, or was it something else? Guess what? She lined the Clinton pockets with $2,800. You see, what price is your soul worth? I understand business is business. But when you pay to play, you know, conventional wisdom, folks, it holds that journalists are supposed to be neutral, right?
They're supposed to be.
Yeah, they shouldn't take sides, either in word or action. But during this election season, how many have aligned themselves with either Clinton or Trump by personally donating money? And especially Clinton? People are identified in federal campaign finance filing as journalists, reporters, news editors, television anchors, as well as other donors known to be working in journalism. And as you said, they've combined to give how much? It was more than
$386,000 to Hillary Clinton, $14,000 to Trump.
Yeah.
430 members of the media donating to Clinton, 50 to Trump.
Yeah. It more than 96% of that cash, you said, I think, benefited Clinton. Right? I mean, it's amazing.
27-1, yeah. Clinton to Trump benefits by the media. And
by the way,
we shouldn't
for full disclosure.
Okay,
now let me ask you. Now you're under oath. How much have you given to any political campaign this year, Joe?
$0.00.
Myself, zero, nada, nothing. Okay, Eric, you don't have to mic up. I just need to know.
He donated $30 to Gary Johnson. No, I'm kidding.
What's Aleppo? Eric's just laughing, saying, yeah. Tax fraud. Donation through tax fraud. Okay.
The only campaign in my whole life I've ever given money to, I think I donated $10 to a Ron Paul campaign back in 2008. I think that's the only time I've ever given money to any politician.
You know,
that is the only time.
I'll tell you a real quick story. I don't donate at all. Let me just say this. I don't donate.
They can donate to me.
Right. I will donate to ministries that are out doing things. All right. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'm going to say because we do tithe. All right. Just so you know, we do tithe.
A political donation, I don't think, is a tithe.
No, absolutely not. But I, a little funny, funny story, and Joe and Eric can attest to this. Both Joe and Eric, helped me yesterday at my home. And, so I was home yesterday. Actually, I ran out to do some errands and I pulled into my driveway and expecting Joe and Eric to be there shortly, to give me a hand with something I needed done at my home. And so I pulled into my driveway and I was caught by complete surprise. Attached to two big trees in my front yard is a Trump sign.
It's like a billboard.
Folks, it is 6 feet wide by 8 feet long. And it was tacked up to, I've got two trees in my front yard that are, 6 feet apart, roughly. And so I pull in and I see this Trump Pence sign, 2016, nailed to my trees. You can't miss it. It looks like the Northwest Pennsylvania headquarters for Donald Trump. And of course, my stepson thought it would be funny to put the sign up. Now, let me tell you something. You want to know what my neighbors think of me? I don't know. Although my one neighbor, early this morning when I let my dog out, she has to go to work at 7, so it was sometimes like 6:15 or 6:20. I let my dog out. I happened to see her. I waved, and she didn't wave back. I don't know what that means. My other neighbor had a Clinton sign out, one of those small, yard signs that stick in the ground, mm-hmm. and they're about 2 feet by 2 feet. He took his sign out of his yard. I don't know whether it was through intimidation. And, so anyway.
What intimidation from what?
Well, when I say intimidation, I don't mean.
Because they saw the big sign.
My neighbors think I'm crazy, I think. Well, and I didn't put the sign up, okay? Earlier today, before I came to the studio, I was out, I had my father-in-law, and my sister-in-law over, and it's a long story. I mean, my father-in-law, as listeners know, suffers from Alzheimer's, and we try to keep him active. And anyway, we were out. It was a nice day. We were out in the front of our property, and this car slows down. I'm thinking, oh, here we go. now it's a party.
We've had acts of vandalism against Trump signs here in our town.
Yes.
Recently and even in New York, across the border, there have been reports of people spray painting and taking down, cutting up signs in people's front yards. So,
well, I gotta just tell you this because it was so weird. When this car slowed down and it was this woman, an older woman, when I say older, my age, maybe a little younger than me, she pulls into the driveway, and we've got kind of a long driveway. She pulls in, and my wife's out there, and my father-in-law's out there, and my sister-in-law. And she gets out of the car, and Lady, her studio dog was not in the studio. She's with me. And she's really protective of me, Lady. So anyone comes near me, she goes nuts. But anyway, so this woman approaches slowly. And she says, I'm your kind of your neighbor. I walk by your home. I walk my Labrador Retriever and a smaller dog. And I said, yeah, I know you. And I'm thinking, okay, here it goes. She's going to say, you got to take it down, or I'm offended, or something. And she said, I saw your sign, and I'm holding my breath. And she said, I've been trying to get one of those, and I'm on a waiting list. They said it would be 2 weeks before I can get it. And I started laughing. I thought, really? So the reason I brought that up is just to let people know, think about that. 2 weeks for a sign of that size. That says something in a very heavily Democratic general area. Now, where I live, it's I don't know, mostly Republican.
Who knows anymore?
Yeah,
I talked
to
a friend today who their family has been Democrats for a while. They're not really into politics at all. But my friend told me that even his parents and his family, he said everybody he knows in his family are voting for Trump, which I was surprised when he said that, because we don't usually talk politics. It comes up here and there. And when he told me that, I told him, I said, that seems to be most people I talk to. I haven't met anybody personally who says, yes, I'm voting for Hillary.
You know,
I talked to lots of people about it, but...
And I don't know how many people saw Amy Schumer's horrible display.
I didn't see that.
Yesterday.
I read about it.
But, you know, one of the problems I think that people have, especially conservatives have, and this is not a fault of anyone's, but it's difficult enough to assemble your thoughts to do a radio show. And believe it or not, it is kind of difficult. It's demanding. You've got to have your thoughts together, and you've got to be coherent. But you got to mic up, my brother. Yeah, no teleprompters here. No, but Amy Schumer, this entertainer, was doing a bit, and she brought up a guy on stage to ask why he was voting for Trump. And ask people out in the audience, you know, who's voting for Trump, and people raise their hand, and so she brought up a guy. Anyway, the guy said because it wasn't a vote for Trump, but it was a vote against Clinton. Now,
I agree with that.
Well,
I mean, for people to do that, absolutely.
But she said, well, why? But why would you vote for Donald Trump? What qualities? See, a lot of people don't think that far. Now, take away the spontaneity or the stress. The mental stress that, you know, you would have by being called up on stage in front of a large audience and having to answer a question that you're not expecting. But I think a lot of people do have a problem identifying with Trump and explaining or articulating in any proper fashion why they would vote for Trump or vote for any candidate. I think a lot of times our talking points are not, I mean, we're not coherent a lot of us. So, we need to be a little bit more introspective and a little bit more coherent coming out of the gate, I think. And I think we have to have our thoughts together. It's just something I thought of and I wanted to mention. Because otherwise we look like sometimes, and we look like a bunch of Looney Tunes. Heck, we look, Joe and I mean, I won't speak for Joe, but I look like a Looney Tune sometimes, or sound like one sometimes. You know, if I'm caught off guard, or if I get a question that I'm not expecting and, you know, I'm in a situation, it's just, you know, I'm thinking about 500 other things and, you know, so we have to be a little bit more together, I guess is what I'm saying, in terms of our thoughts and understand why we are doing things. It's just my two cents worth. But that Amy Schumer, what a sickening, disgusting display of filth. And I mean filth. What I heard, I'm a guy who's been around. I wouldn't want, you know what? If my daughter talked like that, I don't care if she's Schumer's age or not, she'd be eating a bar of soap. And I certainly wouldn't go out with anyone or, you know, have a relationship with anyone who talked like that. Ugh. That's why I love my wife so much. Anyway.
We got a few minutes before the top of the hour break. We're going to, again, take phone calls next hour at 844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944. One other piece I want to make sure we hit on before the break. New FBI release on Clinton email probe refers to shadow government. This from CNBC. The Hill also reported on this. Fox News had a report on it. But this article goes on to talk about 100 pages released Monday morning. A new trove of interview summaries and notes from the FBI's investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails lays out a series of allegations that could prove fodder for future attacks on the Democratic president nominee. The 100 pages released Monday include claims that Clinton blatantly disregarded protocol. Other claims include that a group of powerful State Department employees attempted to coordinate a document release, that the department official asked for a quid pro quo related to the former Secretary of State emails. The document, Part 4 of 4 to be released by the FBI, include notes and interview summaries that may illuminate more about the Bureau's decision not to recommend Clinton to be prosecuted for her actions. James Comey has come out against the criticism of many Republicans and has insisted the move was apolitical. He says, "I want the American people to know we really did this the right way. You can disagree with us, but you cannot fairly say we did it in any kind of political way. We don't carry water for anybody," Comey says. "We were trying to do the right thing." But one revelation in the document came from an interview with an unidentified person who suggested that the Freedom of Information Act request related to Clinton went through a group sometimes called the shadow government. There was a powerful group of very high-ranking state officials, some referred to as the Seventh Floor Group or shadow government. They met every Wednesday afternoon to discuss the FOIA process, congressional records, and everything Clinton-related to FOIA and congressional inquiries, the FBI interview summary said. The group argued for a Clinton document release to be conducted all at once for coordination purposes, instead of an on-rolling basis that would normally be the case. But the shadow government did not get its way, and the agency in charge decided for a rolling release. There's another claim from the document that is, one unidentified interviewee said Undersecretary of State Patrick Kennedy pressured the FBI to unclassify certain emails from the Clinton private server that were previously deemed classified in order to make Hillary Clinton look as though she did not release or use her private server for high-ranking classified material. So you have a Undersecretary of State in the State Department, Patrick Kennedy, trying to interfere in the Clinton email investigation by getting the FBI itself to change the classification status of emails. A representative from the State Department categorically denied that claim. And then they go on to give reasons why it wasn't true. But there's just too much evidence from the emails online and from WikiLeaks and the Podesta emails to paid speeches that have been released. And it's just really going to come down to, you know, we've talked about this behind the scenes, off air, about how the Clinton, anybody who's going to vote for Hillary Clinton at this point, I mean, she could, we sacrifice a child on the White House steps on live TV and it would not change their vote. And we're going to be met with this kind of opposition, but I do believe that the support, the polls that we see are completely fabricated in order to make Hillary Clinton look bad. And, I mean, we even have evidence. There is hard evidence that she stole, her and the Democratic National Committee colluded with each other to steal the primary away from Bernie Sanders. And he is still out there campaigning for her, even though it is a fact that the DNC, along with the media and Clinton campaign, had already decided Clinton would get the nomination. Even went so far as for the head of the DNC to step down right before the nomination was
given. Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Yeah. Folks, give us a call, 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. Your call's on the other side. Stay with us on this Monday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Also, we're going to announce who we have coming up this week, and it does not disappoint, so stay with us.